joining us for his regular chat here on Radio Yorkshire, and it is Mr. Ken Bates. Hello, KB.
Hi.
How are you? How are you? You're okay?
Yes, cold, but sun's shining.
Good news. Good news. There was some nice sun here as well this week. We've got, once again, lots to talk about this week. And, the one thing that dominated the chat last week was talk of GFH and talk of David Haig. And I've got a funny feeling it's going to dominate this week as well, KB.
Well, I think what's really interesting, it's surprising how things come out so slowly. Let's talk about GFH. Fans will remember that they claim they have 25% of Leeds United, and two directors to support it. Well, there's so much to tell you, I don't quite know where to start, but I'll try, okay? The former lawyer of Leeds United, Mark Taylor, is suing for £45,000 unpaid fees. And he presented a winding-up order, which Leeds United, having first ignored it, then appealed, and it's now being heard next week. But some interesting information has come out as a result of it. Leeds United have been somewhat remiss, or their advisors have, in filing returns. But apparently, we can go back a bit, okay? Leeds City Holdings is a company I formed. We've bought Leeds United Football Club Limited for £500,000 in ordinary shares to own the whole of the club. But last June, on the 30th, Leeds United Football Club issued another 4 million shares at £2 each, which is a welcome injection of £8 million in the club. And those shares were issued to a company owned by the family or Chilino Massimo. That meant that Leeds United shareholding was now 4.5 million shares. But the original Leeds City Holdings was reduced from 100% to 11%. Not as mistakenly stated by a Leeds spokesman, 5%, it's 11%. Now, GFH, Gulf Finance House, their shareholding was in Leeds City Holdings. So they have 25% of Leeds City Holdings. But now, Leeds City Holdings only own 11% of the football club, which means the Gulf Finance House only owns 2.75% of Leeds United. So their claim, they own 25% of the club, is wrong. And their claim that their value of the Leeds club holding is over £20 million is equally wrong. I'm very happy to be corrected on any of these figures if they're incorrect, and I invite GFH to comment. Now, GFH, as we know, is a allegedly multi-million pound bank that couldn't pay the wages of the club 2 months after they took it over. and have a notorious reputation for being hard up, having no money. In fact, a very good case against Mr. Levy and Weston fell away because of their financial record. Ford and Warren asked for costs to be deposited in court for £150,000. And they couldn't put it up, wouldn't put it up. It's a pretty bad credit record, which doesn't make sense for this company that this Lust said will be the future saviour of Leeds United. Let's go backwards, because one tends to drift as we've done this. So we now have a fact that the Gulf Finance House doesn't own 2.75%, indirectly own 2.75% of Leeds United. So there has been, they're irrelevant, they have no importance. What's interesting, as we know, David Hay, in 2 months' time, would have been a year in jail, without charge, no interview, no investigation. So a lot of people think that, in fact, the only reason he's in jail is the effect can shut him up, not spilling the beans. But our David is now fighting back. And a lot of things, you have to remember that in the Gulf they tend to cover things up and try to keep it quiet and blah, blah, blah. A bit like Jersey. And they're more professional. We've now got a situation, and I have the papers in front of me as I speak. The one of the lawyers, who's a Gibson Dunn partner, for a reminder, Gibson Dunn are or were Leeds United's lawyers. Their Dubai partner has now admitted he has committed quite serious misjudgment in a really big case involved in Dubai and Djibouti. And it is his decision that he will be reported, Peter Gray will be in danger of being reported to the Law Society with a view to being struck off. Because he has admitted that the statements he made on the days he took were wrong. Now, why, you might ask, has got that to do with it? The answer is that I think Mr. Gray was a Gibson Dunn partner in Dubai, responsible for prosecuting David Hay. Now, I think I told you last week that David Hay had instituted a series of prosecutions against GFH and against the two directors of GFH Capital, Patel and Hisham, for their part, his being locked up, incarcerated in Dubai. And he has issued writs against those two individuals be heard for at the Westminster Magistrates Court. And I heard today, after talking to David, the case will be heard on the 9th of April. And what David A is seeking is arrest warrants against Mr. Patel, Hisham Del Reyes. if they don't appear, they will go for a case of extradition, have them brought from Bahrain to London, Kingdom, answer charges. Now, if they don't turn up, may they both hold up in Bahrain. Could be that they could seek extradition warrants on these two individuals and give a handout to Interpol, which means wherever they moved outside Bahrain, they'd be arrested and brought to England. And we said, what's all this about? Well, the fact of the matter is, let's kind of go back, take a step back. David A was an employee with GFH Capital. He played a part with Salim Patel in buying Leeds United for GFH. And although it was a mishmash of an organisation, too many people, too many chefs, enough Indians, making opinions, nobody making decisions, blah, blah. He was doing what he was told to do by GFH. But things started to go wrong. Haig wasn't being paid his wages. He rented a house or a flat in Leeds. They weren't giving me his rent money. Leeds were so starved of money from these multimillionaire bloody bankers, who clearly didn't have two bob to rub together. One stage I know, because he told me, he actually paid for the players' dinners, pre-match, his own credit card. Made him all that money, and commission, and bonuses. That's what he's suing them for. They have made claims against him of false accounting, fraud, blah, blah, blah. Be interesting to see these stand up in court. But he knows, because he stated so, that GFH didn't have the money to buy Leeds in 2012. And they took money out of a client's account to bridge the gap to complete the deal on the 21st of December, which in itself was very much delayed because they couldn't find the money. And we know then that Salim Patel came in and slashed and burned and cut and sacked and sacked and sacked. So today, Leeds United are struggling, have a proper management structure because nobody left. Anyway, think on. 9th of April. Let's see what happens then. The tragedy is for these fans, all this muck is going on, where, of course, you've got Celino now announcing he's not sure what he's going to do. It's uncertainty, blah, blah, blah. Ordinary Leeds employees, uncertain how to do their job. In the meantime, Leeds fans, come on forever, as ever. Nearly 25,000 on Saturday. Nearly 20,000 last night. And welcome, 3 points. The club is 15th. And hopefully we'll stay in the Championship till things are stabilised. All this bloody mess is sorted out. Now then, one last point, one last thought. As we know, there's a set up now called Leeds Fans LLP, Limited Liability Partnership. Been set up by Mr. Dylan Twaits. And I understand they've had at least one meeting, plus a radio-video meeting, plus they've got an account on the internet. And they want to buy a stake in Leeds United. Now, the thing is, if Leeds City Holdings do go into liquidation, unless the people get it over the phone, there will be an official liquidator who will have assets to sell. And one of those assets will be the 11% holding in Leeds United Football Club. So come on, you Leeds fans, put your money where your mouth is. Leeds Fans LLP, you could finish up only 10% Leeds United. But now it's not time for talk, time for action. So get your money out, Jonah, because the liquidator will not deal with people who haven't got the money, talk about having the money. You have to have the money in the bank. Come on, this is your big chance. Come on, 25,000 fans, 100 quid each. That's 2.5 million quid. And all those Leeds United fans that don't come to Leeds United, one way or the world, 100 quid, come on. Could be great. So, put up or shut up.
Interesting you talk about support, KB, especially when the news came out this week as well about the average away support and Leeds United leading the stakes of the Championship so far in 2014-15. Average of 2,593 away supporters. That's an aggregate total of 44,076.
Absolutely fantastic. But let me tell you again what people don't realise. Is that Leeds United have a bad name. They were saying, give a dog a bad name, give a dog a bad name, hang him. And the problem is, the few fans that are badly behaved, they're the ones that hit the head, like the Chelsea fans, you know, in the Paris Metro and on the train coming back to Manchester on Sunday night. They're the ones that hit the headlines. Nobody takes any notice of the overwhelming majority of fans who love their club as good as gold and just support them through summer and winter. But you have to remember then that when you have an away game, there's always a pre-meeting between the police and the home club to decide what to do and how to do. And they then sometimes decide to limit the number of tickets available, play through Six Nations and get them. Now, when I took over Leeds in 2005, away tickets, there was no control over them. And that's why I introduced the members' club. I introduced the away tickets control. So the problems went down. But the benefit was, so the police then ease their restrictions and the home club allocated us more tickets. They wanted to. They want the money. When you have a bad performance, you know, so the ordinary fans who want to go and watch support Leeds United away, they're punished because a few idiot, bad-mouthed minority who grab the headlines. So the message to those people who get Leeds a bad name, is you're not really good, you're doing your fellow fans a favour. If you really support Leeds United, as you profess, you wouldn't do it. There's no reason why Leeds United could have 4,000 tickets a VOA game. Think how much more boost that would give to the club.
Talking about some other news in football, and the inquest into the Hillsborough tragedy is continuing, and some news that came out this week, KB, from that inquest was that police officers were told to put the blame for Hillsborough on drunken, ticketless Liverpool supporters. The inquest into the disaster's heard. And this has all come from an ex-police inspector, Clive Davis, who's told the jury he recalled a briefing given by Chief Superintendent Terry Wayne 2 days after the tragedy in Sheffield. I think now they're uncovering exactly what's gone on at Hillsborough and in the days after. It's become even more shocking, if that was possible.
Well, I think what's coming over in the last 6 or 9 months is a philosophy. I don't know what the word to use. The word to use of cover-up we're having in the National Health Service. We're having in the sex abuse. We're having in MPs' expenses. We're having in general incompetence. So the Hillsborough is not surprising. I remember the time, I think I read, but I'm not sure, that the operation officer in charge of that particular game had no experience on the beat. He'd been a desk boy, worked his way up through the ranks, non-operational. But I remember seeing things at the time. Oh, then, well, when they did open the gate, let the Liverpool fans in, obviously the shortage place way between 2 points is a straight line. If they'd had a cordon of police to divert the Liverpool fans at either end of that stand, that situation wouldn't happen. But when it did actually happen, at the time I was cruising in the Far East, but on the BBC Radio Overseas Service, I was listening to the live commentary. Nobody takes blame, takes responsibility. I have been interviewed, because I was chairman of the FA Challenge Cup committee, because we were responsible for choosing the venues. And I was interviewed as to why Hillsborough was chosen. And that's a given explanation of it. But they're just incompetence. There is no doubt that a number of Liverpool fans did turn up drunk and did turn up without tickets and try to get in. But the police should control that. We had a possible similar situation at Stamford Bridge some years later. And we had, Chelsea had a very tough police officer called Eamon Sheridan, with Northern Ireland. And he said, they're not going to get in at Stamford Bridge. And he controlled in layers and made sure that if you've got a ticket, you're in, you're very welcome. If you won't get out, you'll be arrested. It's quite clear the organisation Hillsborough that day was abysmal. And there was a cover-up.
Well, moving on to more of a positive subject, KB, and quite a big week for Radio Yorkshire coming up next week. We don't really want to say too much, but it'll be our birthday.
I say congratulations to all the staff of Radio Yorkshire. You started from a standing start. Every kind of problems you could probably think of. Well, you've done a great job. I'm very proud of all of you. And no, you can't have a rise.
Damn it. KB, once again, it's been an absolute pleasure, and we'll catch up with you again very shortly.
Yes, and meanwhile, congratulations on a great day next week and every week. Thank you, Darren. To all the staff who have worked beyond the call of duty, I'm very proud of all of you. Well done.
Thank you very much for that.
I didn't mean it, but it sounds good.
Ha 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 ha!